This is GamesAtWork.biz with Michael Martin and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
This is episode 265, Out of Office. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Michael Rowe here on a, gosh, what is it? It is a day, and it's sunny, it's warm. I'm at home. My wonderful and fabulous co-host, Michael Martin, is at home. So it must be time for GamesAtWork.biz.
It certainly is. And we're glad to be back again. We've got so many things to talk about and to share.
You miss a week and it just goes crazy, doesn't it?
You do. And the two of us were just thinking that, you know, like, we really don't want to talk about COVID-19.
No, we don't want to.
We don't want to, but it permeates every part of society and things that we're going on and we're doing right now. So, congratulations. Buckle up. We're in for a roller coaster ride of links and stories and things that all relate to this. And we're starting it off with our friend Ian. He's been writing quite a bit recently about what this change and how this people are working right now are doing what they're doing. And it's funny for him and for us that we've been doing this now for a while. And the whole concept around the 3D internet, the metaverse, is now resurfacing in a major, major way. So who would have thunk it that this is coming up now?
Yeah, I love it because, you know, we kind of started this whole concept that led to this podcast really about, you know, gaming technology and the implications to work. And back in the mid-aughts, 2006, 2007, 2008, all the way to about 2010, it looked like the way that was going to realize itself was in creating virtual environments where work could take place, where you could work from home but be at the office at the same time. That whole concept of a virtual co-location environment.
Presence. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, presence. You know, having that serendipitous conversation because you walked by somebody and saw them. In this case, you saw their avatar. Ian put a picture in this blog post from you and I were kind of reminiscing, going, "Oh man, I remember that space," right? Because it was about a place. It wasn't about, you know, I was in a game or I was on a WebEx or a Zoom or a Skype call or something. It was I was there. I was in that room. I remember that room. I remember the people that are in the picture in that room, and they're not just avatars; they're people to us. And I just thought it was great. And it kind of reinforces how, you know, even in this time where you have to work at home, that human interaction, not just a phone call. I mean, we're doing, we always record via Skype, but this is one of the few times in a while that we're actually putting the camera on. And it's, you know, you just got to see people every once in a while.
Yeah, so true. And, you know, we remembered that room for sure. And if you click through the picture, you'll get to a image gallery of, I think it's over 600 pictures of what's cooking there. And
Michael, I wonder if he has the train wreck in here.
Maybe.
I mean, the literal train wreck.
you and I will remember that we had a
There's
studio.
The Sears building. Yep. We had a Dog Your Nation studio there, yeah.
We had a Dog Your Nation studio where we actually had live recordings, and we would go there for the recordings of that podcast.
Yeah.
So, you know, what goes around comes around. Yeah, there's the old train. Super cool stuff. I encourage you to take a look because it's not new. These are things that we did before, and it could very well be that they're things that are going to happen again super fast.
Oh, see, I see me in a lot of these pictures with my my black and red hair with the Matrix jacket.
Yup.
Ah, good times.
Speaking of good times and good stories, over the last few days, there's been an evolving story coming out of Italy where there's been such a shortage of valves that were crucial to the respirator machines.
Ventilators.
And, ventilators. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you very much. we need to be specific and precise.
Yes.
What had happened was the valves were just not available, and a group of people with 3D printing expertise said, okay, we're going to spring into action. We're going to help.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, you've been doing 3D printing now for a number of years. What would you say the degree of difficulty is for creating a valve this complicated if you didn't have the files to go?
Well, yeah, I mean, so you're really talking about generating your own CAD drawings, probably, is how they started. Mm-hmm. And they could, I say easily, again, in air quotes, reverse engineer by taking one of the actual parts, right, and using very precise measurement tools to get it right, which is how I assume they did it, because these are medical devices, and medical devices have all kinds of requirements of precision.
Mm.
And not only did they do this and start printing them, they also got other people to donate printer time because they were able to – they needed lots of these. And I seem to remember a story – in line with this, where they actually set up a website to capture. Actually, it's not a website. It's a Google Sheets document for people who could volunteer time to print.
Wow.
So they did that, and those people who had design skills would indicate design skills in case they needed to make modifications. So there's more than just, you know, two guys in masks with a 3D printer. It really is a community effort of people getting together in order to help those who need these parts for their ventilators. So really, really cool story. And as the story went, you and I were trading notes and chatting about this earlier.
Yep.
Then there was rumor that there was a lawsuit. Then it's not really a lawsuit and stuff. But let's face it, they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and doing the right thing really requires people to think deeply and act quickly to save lives. And the fact that these valves were created this quickly did just that, which is an amazing thing. And I think you're going to hear this theme repeat itself through the stories that we're talking about today of people being innovative, creative, and acting fast to make a difference.
Yeah.
Related to this, I was taking a look at the European Data Protection Board, some of the things that I do during my working days, as I do pay attention to privacy and data protections and GDPR and those sorts of things. And we'll include a link in the show notes here to a statement that came out this past Monday on the 16th around data protection rules. And the statement very clearly says that they're not to hinder measures taken in the fight against the pandemic. And even though these are exceptional times, there is a responsibility to ensure the personal protection of the data, but it's a recognition that we are in exceptional times that require exceptional measures across the board. So,
yeah. And it reminds me of there's a lot of politics going on online right now, and we're not going to get into that. But there's a phrase, and I can't remember who said it, that never let a crisis go to waste. So seeing them actually put a statement out saying, yes, we're in a crisis mode, but we still care about the personal privacy and data protection, I think that's great, because it's really easy for people who want to get around those regulatory environments to say, oh, but it's a crisis. You've got to give it to us now. So I was really glad to see that.
Me too. And I think specifically because once data is out, it is out.
It's out.
Right.
Exactly.
No genies and bottles and that sort of thing. So speaking about bottling up emotions and the like.
I thought you were going to say speaking of out.
Well, or maybe speaking of out and about.
Yes.
Social distancing is the rule of the day in a lot of regards. There is an interesting CNET article that we won't go into great detail here, but it's talking about how the virus and social distancing are impacting folks that are using apps such as Tinder and others to date other people. And the image here is kind of certainly, I'm sure, one that was supposed to be funny.
Yes.
To say that two people in masks are not doing social distancing.
Especially when they're kissing through the masks.
Yeah, exactly. However, one would think that there might be ways to connect with people more and more remotely. And if you were going to do something like that, maybe you could do a Netflix and chill kind of environment from a remote location. there's a tweet that I saw about an extension in Chrome called Netflix Party that allows for synchronized watching of Netflix movies so that you could chat and stay aligned as if you were in the same movie theater, all commenting on the movie at the same time.
Yeah, and it's interesting. There's a couple other services that do a similar process for like Hulu and YouTube watching, etc. And go back to Ian's blog post, right? Back in the day, I remember the big thing. We were going to get everybody together in virtual environments and watch movies together so you could do the same thing and experience that crowd feeling of going to see a movie. And you've got right now with everything going on, you've got Disney's latest film just went to streaming or is going to streaming next week. I don't remember the name of it, but it's an adventure one with a world of wizards and stuff. And it's only been in the theaters for 2 weeks. And it's immediately going to streaming, basically, because they're not getting the audiences. People can't go to the movie theater.
Right.
There's a lot of first-run movies that are launching at the same time right now on streaming. And it's that, you know, having something like this, it's one of the reasons you go to the movie theater besides the giant screen and the giant popcorn is the feeling of sitting in a dark room with, you know, a couple hundred other people laughing together. Yep. Or crying or getting scared or whatever the emotion of the movie is. So these things I think are interesting. I don't have Netflix. I don't use Netflix. I use other streaming services. And I don't care if you want to watch it with me one way or the other.
Oh, it's too funny.
But I get it. I get the desire. I get the desire from a business model perspective. I get the desire from a socialization perspective. Matter of fact, one of the people I used to sing with who used to be the pin tester on Pinterest, had a really good blog going, a video stream going, is now the head of social media for a very large local private college. She actually posted a couple of days ago, hey, let's all meet up Wednesday night and do a Netflix party. So... Mm. I politely declined because I don't do Netflix, but I'm wondering how it went.
Well, you know.
Definitely gives you a different meaning for Netflix and chill.
It does, especially if you are, you know, doing this remotely, sort of, kind of. At the same time, I mean, there are environments where this kind of collaborative, timely experience is important. And I remember making some of those suggestions too about how you could engage with Twitter at the same time you're watching something on television, and television shows actually would show in the crawl. You know, you see this in news all the time, people reacting, responding, same thing at conferences and the like.
Yep.
You got to wonder, for all the virtual conferences that are coming up, whether that will maintain itself as kind of a off to the side global chat about the conference, where there might then be a local chat about the physical virtual room that you're in, where you go.
Yep.
So if you didn't want to watch a film, lots of people are turning to, gosh, surprise, surprise, gaming.
Ah, imagine that.
Gosh, you mean what if we had a podcast that talked about that sort of thing?
Gaming and business, technology and business
stuff. Well, so
maybe 3D printing every once in a while.
Yeah, from this article from Destructoid is talking about the NBA 2K20, which now is taking advantage of all the systems and all the people who are playing with it right now, and unfortunately, it's crashing, you know, under the strain of its own processing. So what's interesting here is, with all the rich data and graphics that these games allow, and some of the capabilities, and I don't know if this one does this or not, many of them do use the cloud to manage server-side processing that then gets sent back. It's the strain is pretty high, right?
Yeah, it's it's sad and funny at the same time. And, you know, as longtime listeners will know, I still play WoW periodically. And I've noticed this week my Battle.net app keeps getting kicked offline because I think they're having performance issues with the number of people getting back in world there, too.
Mm. That's pretty funny. Yeah. And, you know, part of the article here that's also a little funny is that the game itself allows you to play essentially the games that are being played today, right? So it's got the players, it's got the venues, it's got all that material. And with the season canceled, I'm sure there was never a test case created by the developers that said, well, what happens if there's not a game today? What do you do?
What happens in the pre-game interview or post-game interview if one of your players touches all the microphones?
There's that too.
It to crash. I mean, I had heard that story, but I didn't actually see a video clip of it until earlier this week, and I was just like, really?
Are you just
insane?
Well, there's
and then he tests
that.
As positive. The player who did that.
Coming back to the timeliness of the games, yes. Too, I have on my Apple Watch a March Madness app.
Oh, man, I bet you're sad because the app's not doing anything.
Well, what it shows is that there's nothing on December 31st, which makes no sense whatsoever. So I'm sure, again, the developers of that particular app did not have a test case of what happens if March Madness is canceled.
This is definitely not one of those edge cases that you're supposed to test. This is one of those black swan events that you're supposed to test.
Yes. Another game that's getting tons of energy and attention is Fortnite.
Yes.
Lots of people are connecting into Fortnite and spending time and energy there. I'm sure there are many whose server usage are going through the roof, Minecraft.
Did you ever get a chance to play Fortnite? Did you ever play any of it?
I never did. Did you?
So I think I played like three games, and I stink. I mean,
well, if you don't play a lot, I'm sure you do, right?
No, but it's I don't like, you know, first-person shooters where you kill everybody else. I like playing against the environment or the story, not against other players. Yep. But it is kind of cool. It's kind of fun. Even when you stink, you die early, and then you get attached to the person who killed you.
Oh.
From a camera perspective, so you watch the rest of the match. And then they die, and you get attached to that person. So you eventually end up with the winner, even if you stink.
How about that?
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Great Twitch-esque, isn't it?
Yes.
So I guess that's a good way to keep you engaged, even after you are no longer engaged.
Yes.
So I have played Minecraft, and my kids have rediscovered Minecraft here too over the last few days. And there's a fun example from a Japanese elementary school where they hosted a virtual graduation because the schools are closed. So the kids, going back to Ian, are congregating in a virtual space to be together even though they're alone.
Which is awesome.
Which is super awesome. Speaking of other things that are awesome,
yes.
An Ars Technica article notes that AT&T is waiving their data cap during the coronavirus.
Yeah, I saw this, and many of the other carriers are too. So it's not just AT&T by themselves. Yep. I think Verizon announced it. I think I don't remember the names of all the carriers anymore, but even some of the local, you know, like cable providers who have caps are lifting the caps, and it's because, you know, people aren't expected to be home 24/7 with the current model, and so instead of shutting them off and causing issues for businesses, many of those business workers are at home and you're using the data. So I think this is a great idea. It adds goodwill.
It does, and there are others that are providing hotspots so that children who are now work from home themselves have the ability to connect in via hotspots if they don't have internet connectivity in their homes, and a variety of other things that are coming.
Yeah. One of the things that I think might be a good turnout of this is since data caps are kind of artificial anyway, we're going to prove that you don't need to add all this extra capacity because it just worked. And then maybe they'll get rid of the data caps and help out those people. Because right now, you know, there are people who have no computers at home, right? That's normal. It's a large percentage of the population, not a majority anymore, but it's a large percentage. And so everybody working at home, I mean, I work with some people in my nonprofit who their internet device is their cell phone. Mm-hmm. And their cell phone has a data cap, right? And so if you're going to make them work from home and you're already using their cell phone for the calls and now you're going to use it for the rest of their work stuff, it's going to be problematic. So maybe, knock on wood, we'll get rid of data caps so that people can actually benefit the devices that they have. And as you talked about, you know, people that are bringing like MiFis and stuff around for areas for people who don't have high-speed internet. I was listening to a story, I can't remember if it was on NPR yesterday or the day before, of a group that's actually getting tablets together because, you know, you got K through 12 kids who don't have computers at home who would go to the library to get their work done. And they can't do that anymore. So actually doing setups where they can bring the kids a device. And I think that's awesome.
I do too. And many schools do have carts of these devices, which for right now, if there's nobody at school, those devices would otherwise go unused. So sending those devices home for the kids to use on the reverse school bus routes that are also being used for nutrition purposes and the like. Mm-hmm. There are so many good news stories that are emerging out of our collective ability to think creatively and deal with problems and do it fast. Apple's moving in that direction now too, and like many conferences, the Worldwide Developer Conference is moving to a virtual space.
Well, we predicted it a couple of weeks ago, right?
That this is
going on, and I talked a lot about it, and it was literally just a couple of days after that, you know, that they announced it. Right, last week had we done a show, and my apologies for that. We would have talked about this because I've got a group that I belong to of people that I'll met at WWDC last year, and we were taking bets and trying to figure out what would they do. And I'm excited to see this. I'm almost tempted to keep my vacation in place that I had planned to go to WWDC had I gotten a ticket, and just do WWDC from the comfort of my couch, so to speak. It won't be the same, but it'll still be beneficial.
Well, and if you're able to connect with the people, I mean, that's what you're saying is the highest value here too.
Yeah, and that's the unknown. What are they gonna do about the lab sessions, right?
FaceTime, baby, with lots of people.
Yeah.
So what if perhaps they were using the new iPad Pro with the LiDAR and all of the new capabilities there? Well, that's pretty cool. If you move up and down on the screen, it clicks into the new keyboard.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty slick. I like that. Yeah. Maybe that would be the way.
You should do the AR of the new iPad.
I will have to do.
Take your iPad or your phone, and there's an AR section on there, and it lets you place it on your desk and move it around and everything else. I'm excited about this device. I'm actually more excited right now just about the keyboard. Mm-hmm.
It'll click in with your current iPad, right?
It will. And what's really nice about it is it allows you to move the viewing angle much better. And you plug the USB-C into the keyboard and it charges the iPad if you want to do it that way. So you don't have to plug it in. And so you can kind of like have the keyboard set on your desk, plop your iPad on it, move it up to where you want it and use it with a keyboard. Because, I mean, I spend most of my time on my iPad Pro using my keyboard because it's not just a viewing device for me. I catch up on emails. I do Slack on it. I do documents and presentations, et cetera, as appropriate. So I'm excited about that. I still think they're going to come out with another updated iPad Pro very quickly. So
yep.
Mine's only about a year and a half old, so no need to replace it yet. But this is exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
I will have to check on the keyboards as well, because I have earlier versions of the Pro that I wonder if they may fit.
Nope. 2018 or newer.
Ah, rats.
It's got to have the flat sides.
Right. Mm. Oh, well. I bet there may be a few of the 2018s also available coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had a lot of time on your hands, Michael, and you were trying to wonder what to do, maybe to get ready for that new iPad Pro or the
what
would you suggest?
I would suggest take a look at Swift UI by Paul Hudson. Swift UI is the thing that Apple released last summer. And if you want to learn it, Paul Hudson does a really great job of a lot of Apple development videos and newsletters. And he actually has, and we put it in the show notes, a 2.5 hour live session where he takes you through building an app from scratch using Swift UI. So it's a great way to learn the full development life cycle of writing a new app in Swift UI.
A better than a Hello World kind of thing, I'm sure. Right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, as we talked about, I completely rewrote my app, wasted time, on the iPhone in Swift UI and in Combine, added in, you know, a watch version and a Mac desktop version, all using Swift UI. I still need to get back to it when I have time, which I might have time soon, and re-add my Twitter capabilities back in.
Ah, yeah, I haven't seen those tweets coming out recently, so
that's because it doesn't do it anymore. Well, what if you were sitting at home, but you wanted to be with everybody else? What would you do?
If I were sitting at home and I wanted to be with everybody else?
Yes.
Would you leap to
some conclusions?
I might. That's what the Magic Leap company has certainly been advocating for their employees. I've seen some news stories around this for sure, where if you're a Magic Leap employee and you've got a Magic Leap device, you should be leveraging that capability and making sure that you're using it to coordinate and collaborate with your fellow coworkers.
Yes.
Makes a ton of sense to me. There's an interesting article that you found here too, that looks to be that the company itself may be looking to sell itself as well.
Yeah. And this is interesting. I mean, they've had a huge amount of investment, about $2 billion in venture funding. And so it's really hard, given that they haven't leaped in revenue yet, to put yourself up for sale. I was talking to somebody the other day and listening to another podcast the other day, and they were talking about, you know, the way Magic Leap does their AR is so radically different than what's going on with like HoloLens or some of the other technology, that from a technology perspective, it really is pretty incredible, but just doesn't have the market share. And, you know, they're probably going to have to be bought by somebody for this thing to finally make it to market completely. So,
well, now's the time where this is going to be the biggest opportunity to really take advantage of it, to bring people together, as you were saying, Michael. So the time could be exactly right. All right. Well, we had two other fun things three other fun things to touch on before we close for today. So the first one is an app, actually. Wonder if it's written in Swift UI. I suspect it probably was.
Probably is.
From the iMore website.
Oh, iMore. Yeah.
Washing your hands. So in addition to social distancing, washing your hands is kind of an important thing to do right now. And there is a nice little Apple Watch app to help you with the timing of washing your hands, with a nice cute little animation. So I've downloaded it. I've given it a shot. Of course, you then need to also think about washing your watch when you touch your watch to trigger the start of the wash your hands. Or
no, you could just use Siri. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so it's interesting. It must be a UK version or I'm blocking it with my Pi hole, because when I clicked on the link, it says it's not available in my country.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that may be just the link they put in for iMore, but if you go looking for it, you'll find it in the App Store.
Hand washing timer.
Yep.
Very cool. So what else is going on that's kind of cool?
Yeah, so this one I was happy to bring up because we've talked already a few times on the show about noises that electric cars need to make. And came across this roadshow
article.
You know
my favorite noise is?
Something that starts.
Broom, broom.
Yeah, well.
Wouldn't that be? That's what the car's going
to
do.
Mr. T to record that for you, perhaps, yeah. Too. You know, I mean, this is the thing. It's like wallpaper for your phone. It seems that you may well be in a position where you could have celebrity car noises. And in this particular video, it used the example of a Tesla Model 3 with several different sounds of an engine. So you could make your car sound like it had a V10 supercar kind of idle sound and acceleration sound, and help you to be compliant with the law as well as sound like a car perhaps should sound.
Sound like a car.
That's what they sound like as opposed vroom, vroom. To the bing, 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 bing kind of sounds. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And you had one fun thing to share with our audience here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, real quick on this one. Again, in the theme of people are being self-isolated at home right now, Game Rant listed the top 10 best open-world games of the last decade from Metacritic. And I just glanced through them. And I know for a fact that I have played one of them a heck of a lot. And I was going to ask, had you played any of the games on this list?
Well, you know, looking through them, I've watched a lot of them, right? I've watched quite a lot of them, and I've played one.
Which one?
Out of this list. It was, where is it again? Grand Theft.
Ah, yeah, mine was Elder Scrolls. Mm-hmm. 5, Skyrim.
Yep. Cool. So, cool list of games by our Metacritic folks over on Game Rant.
So, I think that's it, time-wise.
That is it for what we have for this week. So, delighted to share a few of these news articles, some happier stories coming together. We hope that all of you are safe, social distancing is appropriate, washing your hands is appropriate. And being well in general. And we'll look forward to connecting with you again very soon on our next edition of GamesAtWork.biz.
Now go play some games. Bye.
Bye. See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network. And we'd like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.